Hello, and welcome to the Classic Car Weekly podcast. I'm your host, features editor Chris Hope, and joining me today is our editor, David Simister.
Hello, how are you doing?
And staff writer, Jesse Billington.
Hello.
So as always, we'll be having a chat about some of the things that you can read about in this week's bumper special issue. First of all, before we get into all of that, how are we, guys?
Yeah, pretty good. I don't think I've been quite as busy as you guys because you've been all over the place with events over the previous weekend. I had it quite easy. I was away on a little trip instead. So, yeah, no peace for the wicked, it seems.
Yeah, I've very much been on the road this week. I left been to Vista Motion not once, but twice over the past few days. So I went to Wheeler Dealer Live, the first event on which was last Sunday, which again you can read about in the latest issue, and I was there 2 days later for the latest conference from the HCVA, the Historic Classic Vehicles Alliance. So lots of interesting things coming out of that, which you'll be able to read about in a future issue of Classic Car Weekly.
Yeah, we've got absolutely loads going on at the moment. We're actually a day late making this recording after a busy day in the office yesterday. Start as we always do. Let's have a chat about our cars. Jesse, any progress on the midget?
The cylinder head's finally on. So I built up the valves with fresh springs, collars and collets the other week. And nipped up sort of a few evenings this week just to get head studs in, gasket down. Then last night spent about an hour just sort of getting the head on and talking it all down properly. So we now have pretty much a complete actual sort of long block. It's now just a case of rocker cover going on. Oh, I've got to lash down the rockers, get the sort of tolerance and play on those set properly, and then cover on, build up the manifolds and drop it in. So we're tight schedule, but we're still just about on time with this. So it's progress is good.
Good. And anything on the MX-5, David?
Nothing of late because it's I've been too busy. I've been here, there and everywhere. So it's been sat on the driveway in Southport while I've been in Bicester. I'm currently in our big offices in Peterborough, so it's been sat a little bit unloved while I've been sort of racking up the miles and the friends.
No, absolutely fine, pal. Well, I'm going to be talking about the Mini quite a bit later on in terms of the various sort of things I've been doing with it. My little gripe though is that I discovered that the Speedo cable is not the easiest thing in the world to extract. So I one night with the best of intentions got the car jacked up, wanted to have a look at how easy it would be to remove, looked at it from above and decided there's absolutely no chance of me getting from it that end sort of thing. So to get it from the back of the speedometer is easy enough. You just open the engine bay and you can get it from through the bulkhead. But attached to the transmission tunnel, I thought I'd be able to get it from underneath, and it turns out there's a drive shaft in the way. So I came away defeated, picked up my phone, started having a look at what people recommended. Seems to be the done thing is removing the radiator and or dismantling the exhaust system. So I've got that to look forward to. There is some hope in that apparently some people have managed to have success using something called a sink wrench. I'm no plumber. I've never used one before, but apparently you can sort of manipulate it into place and it can get a decent enough grip on the cable to start undoing it. I'd really like to give it a go for the sake of maybe spending a tenner on a tool, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. You're Googling it now, aren't you, Jesse?
I am Googling it now.
Yeah. To avoid the innuendo, a long shaft with like a little sort of hook on it, and it can just sort of nip over and grab, because it's like a threaded sort of thing on the end of the transmission tunnel, so if you can get any sort of purchase on it, but just it's more than finger tight, so there was no way that I was going to be able to sort of, for all I've got, I can just about feel it and get it, I need something to sort of try and extract it sort of thing. So I've got that to look forward to in amongst other jobs sort of thing. The engine does need to come out, and it's hopefully going to come out over winter so that I can address the many, many oil leaks that it has. But I'd really like to have a working speedo, ideally, sort of thing. Just, useful to know what sort of speed you're doing through town centres with myriad cameras and things. So, minor gripe, particularly as I say, I'm actually sort of, out and about in my car. And I know, Jesse, you're getting there sort of thing. So, but still a little bit of work to do. So
look forward to seeing you in the magistrates' court later this year, Chris.
Yeah.
Using that as a legal defence.
Touch wood. Touching the table, touching the dining room table here. Yeah, definitely. I sort of alluded to this week's issue. It's a bumper special issue themed around the various sort of summer events that have been taking place. So one of the big things to come out of this particular issue was that we've got a lot of reasons to be really quite encouraged about the state of the classic car hobby currently. We interviewed a number of sort of experts and personalities, and they all sort of shared that view that things are doing really, really well right now, sort of thing. You know, there's more affordable cars that you can get your hands on. Car clubs are collaborating, and this is resulting in some sort of, you know, brilliant, fantastic events. There's all sorts of new shows that you can attend, car and coffee meets and things like that. And there's technical developments going on all the time that just make restoring cars and keeping our cars on the road that bit easier. So, David, so it was your sort of idea to sort of go to these experts and see what their take on life was. What was your view on it?
Well, I think it certainly strikes me that the classic car industry is changing, and I think that means that there will be winners and losers, of course, with anything that changes. The thing that struck me is that if you're a club or a specialist or someone looking to get into the hobby, if you're agile and happy to roll with those changes, then potentially it's a really good time to sort of get into the hobby or to expand. We talked about the softening of prices. That means that it's a really good time to be able to pick up cars that perhaps have already had work done on them. We have a piece that later on in the issue where we've all driven some of the cars that we think are really good buys for this summer, and the one that struck me was the Hillman Minx I've been driving around in, and that had been doted on. It was absolutely beautiful 50 Survivor, and the estimate's $3,000 to $5,000, which is stonking value considering how much metal you're getting there for the money. If you were to buy one for sort of $1,500 to $2,000 that needs a load of work, you'd spend an awful lot more than that car's ever going to fetch trying to get it into good condition. So actually some really good opportunities there. Equally, we've seen the world of events change. We've seen the growth of things like coffee meets and car runs, that sort of thing, and maybe that means some of the more traditional, longer established events are having to compete a little bit harder. But equally, it means if you're buying an old car, there are so many different things that you can do now to get involved. And technology is changing too. We've seen the growth of things like, cheaper 3D printing as well. It's easier than ever to get in touch with experts to keep your car on the road. So, it shows that, as long as you're prepared to kind of roll with this new technology and the way that things are changing, it is a great time to be on our hobby.
Yeah, I mean, that Hillman Minx sort of really demonstrates it's a bit of a generalization, but the Minx very much shows that 1950s saloons in particular, you can get a really quite genuine bargain and get a lot of car from your money from that sort of thing. So and I mean, even Jesse, you with your car, which was very much on brand, if you don't mind my saying, sort of thing. But again, heck of a lot of car for the money.
Yeah, the big old Dodge was an obscure choice, sort of sifting through what our options were for the shoot. And I was like, oh, I quite like the Dodge because it sort of shows that you can get a proper variety of things within a fairly reasonable budget. And parts availability in America for these is sort of still fairly continuous. And you've just got to cross the hurdle of getting it sort of shipped over to the UK. But there are people that can sort of help with the importing and getting hold of them. So, yeah, sub 10 grand, you can get this sort of very big, very comfortable car that reasonably could sit sort of four people in extreme comfort or six in still relatively good comfort. And
it's bench seating, you can do that, can't you? So.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, while it's not an out and out performance car, it's also a really good sort of baseline for if you wanted to restore something for sort of doing 1940s reenactments, perfect for sort of very much the sort of US staff car look, or sort of go down the route of building your own hot rod. It's the perfect platform for it. And they weren't exactly uncommon cars. No one's going to sort of hold the torch to you and sort of begrudge you for modifying this sort of beyond its original purpose and making something quite interesting and unique. So yeah, for a sort of a sort of an interesting way of looking at the sort of health and wealth of the hobby, the fact that you can sort of pick up these slightly more sort of obscure and unique choices for good money, and the support's out there and the shows are out there to support it. You can take it along to any number of events and it will sort of certainly draw an eye and sort of turn ahead.
Oh, yeah. Go,
what's that? And sort of, yeah, there's going to be questions.
I mean, you mentioned the sort of the modifications you can carry out. They're quite easy to carry out in an engine bay with so much room in it, sort of thing. So it was a six cylinder, wasn't it? But
yeah, this was the inline six, but there is no reason that you could quite easily buy sort of a Chevrolet 350, drop that in, or a sort of Mopar 385, slot that in, and be quite happy with a wealth of performance and just lash it up to a standard GMT transmission.
Mm-hmm. Well, I picked an MGF Trophy. The reason I picked it was primarily because it just sort of strikes me that when I see these modern MG sports cars on the road, it tends to be the later MGTFs, to the point now where sort of, you know, the more curvier sort of front of the MGF sort of stands out to me now. So and yeah, obviously the Trophy is the performance model, 160 brake, and yeah, you felt it very much, so sort of thing. So epic handling, you know, really sort of trigger sharp sort of throttle. It was just a genuine hoop sort of thing to sort of fly around in, sort of thing. So yeah, it's obviously, you know, that tenacious grip and that incredible handling does come at a little bit of expense of a little bit of ride comfort. But you know, when the mood takes you, I can't think of a better car really, sort of you know, enjoy some top down motoring on a Sunday afternoon. So yeah, no, so Anglia Car Auctions is where we went to find all of those cars. David, I believe their auction's coming up next weekend. Is that correct?
14th and 15th of June. That's going to be a good sale by the look of it.
There's hundreds of cars to sort of see, so definitely worth a look. And obviously pick up our issue if you want to see what the rest of the team had a look at. But getting back to some of the other things in the special issue, obviously the summer season is all about getting out and about and in our cars and enjoying the various events that are taking place. And that's exactly what I did last weekend, along with our managing editor, James Sadlier. We took part in the London to Brighton Classic Car Run in my 1960s Mini. And yeah, really, really brilliant event. I mean, Jesse, David, you've all sort of done this event before. It's been going a number of years now, organized by pop-up car shows, and yeah, I mean, you guys sort of sold me on it. It sounded like it was going to be a really sort of incredible event, and I'm disappointed to say this is the first time I've ever been to Brooklands, so it was nice just to be able to sort of tick that off my list and go to Brooklands Museum and have a look at that, get the obligatory shot of my car parked next to Concorde. And yeah, just the route that the organizers picked out was really, really good. It's a Tulip route book, and it was really sort of easy to walk, to understand. Halfway point at the Rural Life Museum I'm not sure where it is, so I'm not going to guess. But yes, it was in Surrey is all I kind of remember, sort of thing. But yeah, and then we from there made our way down to Madeira Drive. And yeah, I was genuinely in shock about the number of people that were there to sort of, you know, wave and say hello and sort of say, you know, I owned one of those. In fact, I had an incredible story about a couple who had a Mini and in their formative years used it for tooling around Portugal. So yeah, some really sort of nice warm memories there, sort of thing. And it was really nice to have, really quite humbling to have so much positivity around my car and inspiring so much positivity. So, but yeah. Really, really fantastic event. Absolutely recommend people look into it, sort of thing. So, yeah. But David, you were busy as well. You mentioned the Wheeler Dealer live event at Bicester Heritage. What was that? That was the first time that's taken place.
Yes, this is a brand new event hosted by primarily by Mike Brewer and Mark Priestley, of course, the host of Wheeler Dealers. Quite an interesting event because it's very, very focused on the buying and selling experience. Obviously, we had the tie-in sale auction that was held by Classic Car Auctions. There's some really good positive results from there. We had a live stage where Mike and Mark and Antan said they were sharing their top tips on buying and selling classic cars, the classic car displays. It's quite an interesting event. And the thing that, you know, struck me as well was obviously this was the first really big public facing event at Vista Motion since that dreadful fire a few weeks back. And I think there were some conversations about would it be appropriate to have the event so soon after that tragedy, and I think the general feeling was that, you know, it was a good thing for that to go ahead. Certainly they used that event, they had a very poignant 3 minute silence in memory of those who lost their lives trying to fight that fire, and they used the event to raise funds for the firefighters charity and the family of David Chester, who very sadly lost his life there. So I certainly think it landed well. It was a really nice tribute and a good way to show that Vista Motion, which obviously is a hugely important part of Britain's classic car movement, is very much you know, still you know, open for business. You know, it's getting back on its feet after that dreadful event, and it was great to see sort of the, you know, the enthusiasts and the movement showing as much support as they did, really. So I think it went really well as an event, and I'm looking forward to seeing that event. The one thing that struck me was how, you know, Vista Motion is a massive venue. They could easily scale that event for next year and make it even bigger again. I think it's a good format for a car show. Again, we're talking about sort of different formats for things earlier on, and innovating in this industry. And I think this, you know, it certainly has potential for doing something bigger and better, you know, for next year as well.
Cool. What sort of cars were on show? Was there a particular sort of era that seemed to be more prominent than others, or was it, did it have a slight performance bent, or?
I think it was more, it lent more into sort of the modified cars as well than perhaps some of the more standard shows would have. Certainly if you're used to, I mean, they did certainly have things like, there was a lovely Ford Zodiac there, and you know, plenty of sort of MGVs and sort of more traditional classic fare. But equally, if you're more into things like, you know, sort of things like Focus STs and RS Audis and things like that as well, that was quite well represented, which I think is probably the right thing to do, because again, it was a show about the classic car market, and those, yeah, kind of cars, they form increasingly a big part of the market that we cover.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking back to the London to Brighton classic car run, there was tandem events going on with that. So there was a dedicated run for kit cars and also modern classics. But yeah, I mean, it was you know, the better part of sort of 100 miles, I think, in total. But, you know, that didn't exclude certain cars from taking part. In fact, the oldest car to take part in that event was a 1911 Ford Model T definitely got the biggest applause as it rolled through into Madeira Drive. But yeah, you could sort of take this event in your pace. What I really enjoyed was that halfway point. It was almost like a constantly changing sort of car show. Cars were arriving and leaving all the time, sort of thing. So I actually lost my Mini at one point, because the Morris Minor that I'd saloon that I'd used as a point of reference had disappeared, and then there was a VW Campernet part next to it suddenly, sort of thing. So it was not only hiding it, but for a moment I thought I'd managed to lose my car, sort of thing. But and obviously Jesse, you had a rare weekend off, I must admit. There is very few sort of weekends where you're not doing something that's car show related, but you actually had a bit of a break this time. We did, however, cover some other events in this issue. So as well as the London to Brighton Classic Car Run and Wheelie Dealer Live, there was Coventry Motor Fest last weekend as well. There was also Classic Stony, in addition to not one but two events at the British Motor Museum in Gaydon. So there was a massive gathering of Ford Transit to mark 60 years of the ubiquitous van, and there was also the Mini and Metro show. I was a bit disappointed about that clash. I did want to get to that event, sort of thing, but yeah, I've definitely put in the miles, sort of thing, so it can be one that I can maybe look to sort of do next time. There's also some other bits and pieces that we can look forward to in this issue. I'm actually going to hand over to you now, Jesse, because obviously we've been talking about some of the events that have taken place, but there's plenty more to come this summer. In fact, you've managed to find no less than 40 events that you think people should be marking in their calendars.
Yeah, it's a busy summer, really. I think putting together the sort of events list is always quite an interesting one, because it's a hard thing to try and whittle it down to 40, because you're sort of looking and going, oh, well, that's quite important. That one has a huge following. This is a really unique location. So trying to narrow down which ones you pick from where that offer something different for different sort of classes of classic for people that are looking for different things from their shows. It's never an easy task. And then sort of trying to cram as much information about each one into sort of maybe 120, 125 words. But you're sort of going, oh, but there's a lot of very interesting things happening at a lot of shows these days. They've realized they've got to offer more than just cars in a field. And the fact that so many shows have really cottoned onto that, really sort of grabbed hold of that idea, and they've got the additional displays. When you've got even motorsport weekends, you look at things like Super Touring Power, yeah, they've got these great classes of touring car racing going around, but there's also going to be displays, there's going to be showcases, people that have built replicas, that have bought cars inspired by watching touring cars through the years, and then you've got the open paddocks to it. So there's this constant, really pleasant evolution to see, but it makes my job each time we do one of these trickier and trickier, which is a great thing to have, really. It's a, sort of one of those positive hurdles to clear. But yeah, there's 40 unmissable events we've tucked into this week's issue. And yeah, everything from sort of pretty much sort of events happening the weekend of, all the way through to stuff, I think we've stretched it as far as the end of September. I think I said the Autumn Classic Racing Festival at Castle Coombe is just about as far as I want to stretch it for summer events, given it is officially called the Autumn Classic. But yeah, so everything from auto jumbles, racing events, supercar weekends, and a few little trips and bits here into Europe as well. Old timer Grand Prix, Traverse de Paris, and literally in Paris. So yeah, there's a few different bits and pieces, from sort of big American things to fizzy little minis at Friends Hatch. There's a good spread. It's yeah, quite a fun and eclectic mix.
It's food for thought, sort of thing. Obviously we're not expecting everyone to go to all of these events, sort of thing, but yeah, hopefully there's a few that'll sort of grab your fancy and that you can hopefully get along to, sort of thing. So I think it's really sort of interesting what you talk about, you know, events having to sort of do something different. I reckon there absolutely was a time where you know, the Ford Transit Owners Club and behind the Mini and Metro meet would want to have distinct shows. They wouldn't want to be sharing space with one another, sort of thing. But I think there's been a change in viewpoint now, and it's people who love all cars, and having that choice of sort of having that mixture, having that sort of differing points to look at, sort of thing, just it adds value. You might well have just gone to look at Minis, but there's every chance that, you know, you're going to go admire some other vehicles as well while you're at it, sort of thing. And obviously those that went to that particular event obviously have access to the museum and the collection center as well. So yeah, it's that kind of thing that events are looking to do now. It can't just sort of be just a one-trick pony. There has to be a little bit more to it. Finally, I mean, one of the other things that probably is worth mentioning is that we do have our Father's Day gift guide in this issue as well. It's next Sunday. If you have forgotten, whether it's a case of, you know, finding something for dear old dad, or whether you're looking to sort of, you know, find some prompts and for yourself that you can ask the kids to get you, we've got, again, 40 gifts that you can look through and hopefully find something that's really going to put a smile on either their face or your face. So, gents, that sort of brings us towards a close. I'll mention that we have got some really interesting content coming up in next issue. So our issue on sale June 11th. The lead feature is going to be looking at 50 years of the Vauxhall Chevette. We're going to be looking at how it was that it came about, and also how it was that it was marketed, the kind of people that bought it in period, because interestingly, it was as much sort of, you know, aimed towards sort of younger men as it was sort of perhaps sort of wives as well, sort of thing. And writer there, Andrew Roberts, does a really excellent job of sort of examining how this one car can sort of be many things to all people. And then we've got another brilliant The Way We Were scene from yesterday. This time we're in Gloucestershire, looking at the brand new opening of a motorway services in 1966. So I'll bring it to a close there. Thank you very much for your time, gents. Look forward to doing this again with some of you, hopefully again next week.
Always a pleasure.
See if we can put it together. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Hello, and welcome to the Classic Car Weekly Podcast. I'm your Hope.
You're our Hope, Chris Holst.
I'm our Hope. Okay.